If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I confess to you, I did not have the opportunity to prepare as much. I hadn't planned on speaking at all tonight. Didn't have the opportunity to prepare. And so I told Matt, you make these people give lots of testimonies. yeah, I shouldn't have said that. There would have been lots of testimonies. We're going to go with it anyways. So I'm going to ask you to please bear with me as we work our way through this second chapter of 2 Timothy. As you know, Timothy was a young minister that the Apostle Paul had, first of all, won to the Lord, secondly, discipled, and then third, sent out. And that is to be a part of the process of Christianity. And Timothy was just an incredible, incredible young man. But he had a history. And his history was that he had a grandmother who was a prayer. And his grandma Eunice was one who really took him before the Lord and that type of thing. And so he had that tradition in his life. And Paul kind of lays out in this second chapter a bit of the process of ministry and what he wants to see young Timothy do and what he wants to see him become. So we're going to start with 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Paul says this, "You therefore, my son." Now, the reference there to my son is not his biological child, all right? But it is his spiritual child. And that's exactly how he viewed Timothy, as his son in the Lord. And so he says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." You know, in this world in which we live today, there are a lot of people that are quote-unquote, self-made individuals. But self-made should never be a part of the believer's vocabulary. Because we're not self-made, any of us. We have been initiated and adopted into God's family through grace. And that grace is sparked or brought about because of faith. Faith is brought about because it is a gift from God that is placed within every individual who's born. There is the measure of faith Paul talks about in the book of Romans, whereby anyone can believe. And so there's a measure of faith that is given to everyone. And faith, when it is exercised, that trust in Jesus Christ, that belief in Him, that realization that that we have been sinners, that we have been separated from God, but that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that He loves us, and that He is willing to forgive us if we will repent and come to Him. As all of that takes place, then the grace of God in forgiveness is poured out. And then the grace of God begins to take a lot of different avenues. Because the grace of God then carries the individual through and to the will of God. And the will of God for each and every one of us may be in a different angle. There are two elements of the will of God. Number one, that none should perish and that all should come to repentance. For that's the will of God. but then also the will of God, that he has what's called a personal will. There's the universal will that none should perish. There's the personal will, and that is that God has a job for each one of us to do. And as we enter into that and discover that, it is the grace of God that brings us to that hunger to discover his will, that desire, that drive to discover his will, and then the revelation of that will to us. That's all brought about because of grace. It's not because of who we are, but it's because of who he is. We're not self-made. We are God-blessed. And we need to continually remember that. And so Paul, in talking to Timothy, because he knows of everything that's going on, and he refers a little bit to this in a minute, but he knows about the potential of persecution. He knows about the potential of rejection that people have towards God, towards the ministry, towards individuals. He's aware of all of that. And so he's telling Timothy, look, be strong. Hang on. Don't be shaken. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not strong in your self-confidence, strong in God's grace. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul, as he is writing to young Timothy, he is the one who won him. He is the one who trained him. He is the one who ultimately sent him out. And that's a part of his duty and responsibility. And so he says to him, look, the things that you have heard from me, that we have talked about, we've worked with, we've trained, you've seen the interactions that have taken place. You have been there as people receive Christ. You have been there as they've been discipled and that type of thing. And those things that you have heard, those things that you have seen from me in the presence of many witnesses, because there have been a lot of people around during these times. In the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men. Timothy, just as I, one, discipled and sent you do the same. And that's what he's taught. That's how... You see, that's how ministry expands, and that's how the kingdom of God grows, and that's how people continue in the work of the Lord. And it's an interesting thing, because the word faithful men there, the Greek word that is used here is heteros, H-E-T-E-R-O-S. Translated, it means this: men of another caliber. That's an interesting insight. Men of another caliber. Hetero, men, and you add the prefix to that, which is heteros, means men of high quality. Men of high standards, if you will. Teach men. Disciple men. Send men who are going to be quality individuals who are going to teach others also. Notice how he puts that in on the end of that second verse. He says, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. The ripple effect is going to take place. Teach them also. And what are they going to do? They're going to then duplicate the ministry. And that becomes an important thing. Now, we come to verse 3. I told you that one of the things that Paul was aware of was the fact that Timothy was going to hit some rough water somewhere along the road. He was going to have some difficulties because they take literally that the verse of Scripture that Peter wrote when he said, "And all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And Paul is completely aware of this. And so he begins in that third verse to just kind of warn Timothy. And look what he says. He says, "Suffer hardship with me. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus." We have some military, ex-military people here tonight, right? Stand up if you are. Okay. What does it mean to be a good soldier? One concept, if someone wants to speak up, one of you wants to speak up, all right? What does it mean to be a good soldier? Obey commands. Obey commands. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. Anyone else? Follow your leader without question. Now, is that the same as obey commands? There's a different slant, isn't there? Okay, you may be seated, sir. Anyone else?
Stay alive.
Stay alive, all right. Yeah, I would think. Yeah, okay, thank you. You may be seated, sir. Any one of you others? Follow the rules. Well, it's not quite the same. It's not quite the same, but okay. Okay, you may be seated, ma'am.
There's a statue in front of the infantry school at Fort Benning, Georgia, that there's an officer with his hand up and says, "Follow me." And the thing of it is, there may come a time in life where you may have to do that, or you're placed in that position. But as a major once told me just before we landed in Vietnam, he says, "One thing for sure, that may come about someday, but if you're dead, you cannot take care of those 40-some men that are following you, or that you're responsible for." So it's something to remember. So I spent 19 months in Vietnam as an infantry officer, and it's not easy.
Okay, following your leader. All right, okay. Lynn, did you want to say something? No? Okay, then you can be seated, sir. Do you notice what wasn't said? Turn around and run. Did you notice that? That wasn't stated. Quit was not a part of it. Don't turn around and run. Don't quit. As Paul is speaking to young Timothy, he's saying, suffer the hardships. There's going to be some rough waters you're going to have to go through. There's going to be some difficult circumstances that you're going to have to face. Timothy, this may cost you your life, as it is about to cost me my life. Don't you quit. Suffer hardships. What do we see going on all around us? People quitting. People running. People turning their backs and going the other direction. Timothy, suffer the hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look at this, verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. They are, if you will, single-eyed, single-focused. They see the battle that lies in front of them. They see the enemy. And they're focused on the destruction of that enemy. They don't quit. They don't back down. They don't back up. Timothy, you are called with a high calling. And that is to follow Jesus Christ as a good soldier. Don't quit. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Who has enlisted us as soldiers in Christ's army? Christ himself. That's who's enlisted us. Did Christ quit for you and I? No. He went all the way through, didn't he? He didn't quit for us. And should we quit for him? Or, rephrase that, should we quit on him? No. Not at all. Now, he moves his illustration a little bit from military commitment to what it takes to be an athlete. Verse 5. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. I personally know an ex-hockey referee. Who should take this to heart? No, I'm just teasing. I'm sure that Bill enforced every rule right down to the very bit of it. But Bill and I have talked several times. And I love baseball. I don't think anybody's amazed at that. Go Yankees. I am just, you know, I'm a baseball fan. And there isn't anything that irritates me any more than an announcer getting on TV and saying, now this guy's strike zone is low. This guy's strike zone, he will give you 3 or 4 inches outside as a strike. This guy will give you 3 or 4 inches inside. And that's a beef with me. There's a strike zone. Call the stinking strike zone. It's not rocket science. It's a strike zone. Don't give outside for this guy because you have these professional hitters who focus on that strike zone. And they're not going to chase. And so you give an unfair advantage to the other. You break the rules. And that gives an unfair advantage. And Paul is saying this to Timothy when it comes to the Christian life. He's saying, look, if you're going to win the prize, you compete by the rules. If you're an athlete, you have to compete by the rules to be a winner. I mean, a legitimate winner. When it comes to the issue of living the Christian life, if we want the prize, we must live by the rules. What are the rules? commands of God. That's what the rules are. So we are to abide by the commands of God. What's the prize that we win? Eternal life. Thank you. That's the prize. And it's not just one who can win the prize. It's all who compete by the rules can win the prize. Everyone. Jesus talked a little bit about this, and he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You know, he was talking about that. And he said, you know, if you try to come up any other way, you're a thief and a liar. Or a thief and a robber, maybe it is. Something like that. Either a thief and a liar or a thief and a robber. And he's basically telling them, look, there isn't any other way. If you want eternal life, you do it my way. And that's the way it's going to be. So there isn't any other way. So if someone thinks, well, I'm just going to do the best I can, and I get so sick of hearing this, when I get to heaven and get judged, if there's more on the good balance side of the scale than there is on the bad side of the scale, I think God, being a God of love, being a God of mercy, being a God of kindness, being a God, you know, that has created us, he'll weigh out the scales and he'll say, well, you did three more good things than you did bad things. Come on in. That's not how it works. It's not how it works at all. They forget God is also a God of judgment. God is also a God of vengeance. God is also a God of righteousness. God is also a God of holiness. Those are his standards. And if we're going to win the prize that he offers, we'll compete by the rules that he has established. Verse 6. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. Timothy, I'm sitting in this rotten dungeon cell. But you want to know something, Timothy? That doesn't stop the message from going out. I've often wondered, and you know, when they, often in imprisonment, it wasn't just in a cell with bars and that kind of thing, but often in imprisonment, the prisoner, if they were really considered notorious, 24/7 had a guard that was strapped to them on both sides. All right? They would be chained together with a guard on either side to watch this guy, to make sure that he doesn't escape. And sometimes that was Paul's situation because he was considered notorious. And sometimes that was his situation. And I wonder, how would you like to have been one of those guards? I'll bet they're thinking, doesn't this guy ever shut up about this Jesus? There were probably more converted guards in those prisons than in any other prisons around. When Paul was under house arrest, he had to have guards 24 hours a day posted by him. That doesn't mean that they were always chained to him. If he was under house arrest, then he was in a situation where he was still able to receive visitors and he was still able to do some writing. In fact, this is what he's doing with Timothy. He's under house arrest at this time. He's a prisoner for the Lord. And so he recognizes that. And so, you know, but there, that still means that there's guards there 24/7. And there's Paul constantly. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Let me tell you. I want to tell you about this one day. I was on the road and we was going to this place called Damascus because we had heard about these crazy people in the way. And we knowed that they was just guys who was just praising and serving this Jesus and loving him. And while I was on my way to this way, I got waylaid by a bright light and by a voice that said, "Why is it so tough for you to kick against those boards that are on that cart? To kick against the goads." You know, that's what a goad is. If you ever read that in the scriptures, why is it so hard for you to kick against the goads? When you would see a cart or anything that was being pulled by a mule or by an oxen or anything like that, right behind the back legs of that oxen or that thing was wood that would come out sideways. And it would just kind of end there. It didn't have wheels on it, just the wood. Well, that was to protect whoever was behind them, because when they'd kick back, they'd kick against that and they'd quit kicking. You know, and that's what the purpose of those goads were. And when Jesus said, "Hey, look, you're in this big fancy cart, you're kicking the goads, you old oxen, you old donkey. Why are you kicking against these goads?" And I just kind of respond, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting." And I dropped to my knees. And I heard his voice telling me, "I've got a job for you to do. I've got a job. But before you're ready, you got to go see this guy Ananias. And he'll pray for you." And I was blind. I was blind. And I had to be led. But when Ananias prayed, the scales fell from my eyes. "Brother Saul, receive thy sight." How would you like to have been that guard to hear that story over and over and over? Because along with that story comes an unexpected guest called the Holy Spirit, who begins to poke and begins to prod at those guards and say, "This guy's right. This guy's right. Listen to what he has to say." I was going to go out with the boys tonight after I was done being all chained up in this place and having to watch this guy, and I just wanted to go out. You know, boys just want to have fun. There were probably more converted guards tied to Paul than any other prisoner that they ever had to deal with. Because, I mean, this guy could not keep himself out of jail. You know why? Because he couldn't keep his mouth shut about Jesus. He looked at the rules. He was competing for a prize. And he lived by the rules. Very simple. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your heavenly Father. Paul's passion was to let that light burn and he could not shut up. Do you want to win the prize? You compete by the rules. Do you want to be a good soldier? You follow your leader. Your leader is Jesus Christ. The rules have been established by him. So Paul's saying to Timothy, young man, those things that you've heard in me, that you have seen in me, in front of all these witnesses, you follow them. Don't go off on your own. Don't do things your way. Don't grab that mic and sing, I did it my way. Your way ain't going to make it. It's Jesus' way or it's no way. And folks, that's the message to you and I. We'll either do it his way or we don't win the prize. Let's stand. In closing, I just want to read this. Chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. It is a trustworthy statement. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. In other words, Jesus isn't going to compromise for you or for me. He has standards, he has rules, and he'll follow them. Regardless of what we do, follow Jesus, and you'll never go wrong. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for a senior pastor in the Apostle Paul, who was respectful to those in authority over him, but Father, he was also faithful to those who were under him. Father, teach us to be like that. Warn when we need to warn. Hug when we need to hug. But in all things, be obedient to you. And Lord, as our master leader, lead us in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And teach us to be good soldiers. Teach us to be honorable athletes. Teach us to never be quiet, but to always proclaim you. For it's in your awesome and incredible name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Please give us a moment to get to the back so we can greet you. Have a great week in the Lord.